Yeah, buddy, that's right. Sports Brew is down here in the basement breaking out the boom shakalaka this fine Tuesday. I'm going to refer to this as a hydration station Tuesday because Lord knows, in between Shine on Saturday, Can Crushing Tuesday, Beer Busted Monday, and all the other days we mix in with this junk, particularly after the Sports Brew bye week in Hilton Head and I forget where you went.
Gatlinburg.
Is that Pennsylvania? Is that where it was?
Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Whoops. Totally wrong direction. Well, you know, you'd think I'm the one that had the moonshine. Oh, by the way, you didn't bring any tonight.
Well, it's not a Friday or a Saturday.
Well, we just needed like a sample, a smidge.
All right.
Next time you got to bring like a smidge.
All right, next week I'll bring a smidge.
Sippers.
Yeah.
Just sippers. But yeah, the captain's a little under the weather, so bear with me if I might sound a tad congested.
You're gutting it out, bro.
Look, we're gonna put on the rally caps. This is how we roll here in Sports Brew Nation, man.
We man up here, baby.
We do man up. We're actually here to give some lessons to Stam Newton, Cam Newton, as far as manning up, shutting up, putting up, not putting out.
Is there a suggestion box for that?
I think there may be a suggestion box for that, and we will address that fully in
all
a
right.
few more minutes because
sure.
that's also what we do here. In the land of the brew. So, yeah, Hydration Station Tuesday, man. But don't worry, I'm still accompanied by not only Shannon, the Twitter Terminator, but I do have a fine selection of silver bullets right by my left hand, ready for mass consumption
yes, sir.
During this podcast. So, you know, coat the throat with a little bit of honey.
There you go.
Try to smooth that out. Take a couple aspirin. You know, have a couple of beer, rally up. We've got sports to talk about, man.
Put some honey on that bitch and let's go.
Put some honey on it. But that was like we were warming up, like our voices. And it was like, put some honey on that bitch. Put some honey on that bitch. Put some honey, 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 honey on that bitch.
It's like the Sports Brew rap song.
Yeah, apparently now we have like a theme song. Really, that's going to be terrible. I don't even know what that will sound like in playback. I might have to like destroy that. But you
that's
know me.
Edit it.
Yeah, sometimes we do these and I'm like, oh, I'm going to edit that out later. And then I go back and I listen to it. I'm like, nah, I'm going to leave it in. And
so, that's what she said.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. Yeah, there is a little honey in that bitch. See, we go off the rails. We're not even 2 minutes in. And we're already going off the rails. That's what happens
roll.
Here. But, you know, Sports Brew, baby, bringing it to you, man. Powered by the basement, powered by the Brew Crew, powered by Sports Brew Nation. And as always, we're going to raise our cans. We're going to give a little salute to all of you guys for listening in. We are up to, I believe, over 4,000 views on the Podbean site. So that's really fantastic.
Beast mode, baby.
Beast mode
that.
Here with the Sports Brew. So trying to branch out. Obviously, we've got you covered, man. Twitter, Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook. Blogging, drinking. Hey, man, it's fun, right? So what isn't fun right now, I think, is if you're a Panthers fan.
Oh, man, poor Kelly.
Look, Kelly, you finally made it into the Sports Brew. You're not here to represent. I know that somewhere at home you're wearing your Cam Newton jersey, you know, and you are also probably drinking because this is not looking like a very promising season for the Panthers.
No, it's not.
You know, I think there was a lot of hype last year. Obviously, you know, Cam Newton coming in, having the kind of rookie success that he had, particularly early on,
mm-hmm.
Really raised the expectations from this offseason, coming into the season for what they were going to be. You look at that division, you knew the Falcons were going to be very good.
Right.
You knew the Saints were going to have issues because of everything that's going on with Bountygate, all the suspensions. There was a nice opportunity for the Panthers to really show what kind of progression they had made from the offseason, particularly for Cam Newton coming into year two. People are going to throw around, well, the sophomore slump. I think when you look back to last season, you can see the kind of numbers that Cam has, which were spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Spectacular, particularly through about the midway point of the season. And then they kind of tailed off a little bit as defenses and teams adjusted to what he was doing. My expectation coming into the season was that we were going to see an adjustment by not only Cam Newton, but by the Panthers' offense, really to be able to better leverage what his skill set is and to see him grow as a quarterback. I mean, he is supremely talented. I don't think anybody's going to question, you know, his physical talents. But given how the season is playing out, I think what we do have to question is his attitude, his approach, and his leadership. And that's, you know, there were grumblings about that, but I think what we're seeing is really a manifestation. Look, most NFL players hate to lose.
Right.
We get
Anybody
that.
Hates to lose.
We get that. But when you lose, when the chips are down, how you deal with it, how you lead your team, and he is the face of that franchise.
Now, we talked about this right after the Panthers lost to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how his body language was when they got down big in that game.
Moping around.
And he just moped and had his head down.
Mm-hmm.
And we said at that time, you're not going to see a Peyton Manning do that.
No.
When they got down 24-0, did you see Peyton Manning moping around?
No. Peyton Manning looked focused, angry. Well, not really angry, but he looked super intense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was upset.
I think he was upset. I don't think angry is the best word, but I think he, you know, he was in prime.
Pissed off.
Let's kick their asses, man. We got to get ourselves in the gear. We got to handle this. He was super intense, focused, ready to, you know, help push that team
right
to a victory.
And when they were down 24-0, they ended up winning 35-24. Okay, that's when you're talking, when you have a quarterback that's your leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cam Newton is their leader on Carolina.
Right.
Okay. That guy has to be 100% focused all the time and ready to lead that team no matter what the situation is. You got to be positive at all times. You cannot look like you're upset. When you get back to the locker room, if you're upset, that's fine. You want to let out your frustrations there, that's fine. But when you're out there on the playing field, when you're out there in front of the fans, in front of your team, you have to be a leader. And you have to lead by example.
Well, I think you can look upset. You know, we were just saying that Peyton looked intense and looked angry. I think you can look upset, but there's, we're going to get this done upset, and there's, I'm going to bitch about it upset.
Right.
And there's a difference. And I think we're,
you're right.
Right. Where Cam seems to be treading these days is in, I'm frustrated, we're not doing better, I don't quite know how to handle it, and I'm not finger pointing, because I said it in my press conference. But I am finger pointing because there's these other issues. And certainly they can't be me. Superman chest rip.
Yeah, down by like 20 points.
Right. I mean, seriously, dude.
But look, it's a learning process.
Of course
it is. It's his second year. But at the same time, if you're going to be the leader of your team, you got to lead at all times regardless of how the situation is. And his body language was bad.
It's poor.
And quite frankly, Ron Rivera just needs to pull him aside, have a man-to-man talk with him about how to lead. I know Steve Smith got on him big time about his body language, and Steve Smith is one of the most fierce competitors you're going to find out.
Smith
there
is a feisty oh, dude, and
gosh,
he's had his share of baggage. He's far from imperfect, but you know, that is a guy that is super intense, but he, you know, I think when he was younger, he didn't always channel that intensity very well.
Right.
And I think as he's matured as a player, he has figured out how to channel that intensity in a different way. And that, to me, if we're going to talk about Cam Newton, he needs to channel this frustration in a way that makes both himself, that makes his team, you know, better, that makes this franchise better. You need, you're year two. We know there's going to be some speed bumps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens.
It happens to,
you know,
everybody.
That's part of the progression. It's part of your maturation process, not only as a man, but as a quarterback, which mm-hmm. also means as a leader of that team. And he's in a spot on this progression curve where he, you know, he, this can branch off a couple of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be very disappointed if he goes like some of the pouty Vince Young route. Now, I personally think he's got more talent than Vince Young did.
Absolutely.
You know, by far. But, you know, Vince Young, when things got away from him, it's almost like he kind of blamed the fans, he blamed other people, he was pouty, he went and partied with his shirt off at Texas. He did these things that you looked at and you're like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, this isn't college, this is the pros.
This isn't college, buddy. You know, that's all great that you were BMOC, big man on campus at wherever you went.
Auburn, yeah.
You know, but it's a pro game, man. You're making millions of dollars, you're the face of that franchise, and you have to, you know, you have to own that. And it, to me, right now, it doesn't look like he is handling all of these things, particularly in the face of adversity.
Right.
As well as he could have.
I'm looking at the box score here of the Panthers game, and I'm a little surprised here, Justin.
At which part?
Rushing.
Rushing. Well, that's a pretty critical issue for the Panthers. And, you know, there's some organizational issues that we're going to talk about in a minute, but quite frankly, first off, they've got two really gifted running backs that they're paying a lot of money, and they're squandering them. Although, if you look back to the Atlanta game, those running backs actually got quality touches and right. quality carries.
Right.
And that was probably the best game Carolina has played this year.
Right. And listen to the lines here. Jonathan Stewart, 10 rushes, 35 yards. D'Angelo Williams, 2 rushes, 4 yards. Mike Tolbert, who's actually a decent third option.
Oh, I'd say Tolbert's quality.
3 rushes, 9 yards. If you put all three of those combined, they do not have the rushing yards that Cam had. Cam had 64 rushing yards on 6 carries. That's not good, Justin.
Well, part of the issue here, we can talk about numbers. And you and I talk about this. I try not to get overly hung up on statistics because they paint a partial picture. But numbers, there is meaning in these numbers. And when you look at enough of the games that the Panthers play, and you see the trends when they're competitive. Again, the Atlanta game. You know, Williams and Stewart got good touches, and right. they had good production. It helps give that offense more balance.
Absolutely. And Cam threw the ball 37 times on 21 yes. total rushes, so that's not balance.
No. That is a team that, to me, and Cam has to own part of this. Cam has to own part of it because he's the quarterback. But if you're going to complain about the script, the director, the coaches, how games are going, then you have to, as an on-field leader, you have to be able to communicate with the coaches and say, hey, this stuff isn't working, you know. And the coaches also have to be able to look at the game flow and the game situation and say, okay, you know, all these run option things, this quarterback option stuff, this college-y kind of thing, you know, that's great when it works, but maybe we're doing too much of it. We've got NFL caliber running back talent mm-hmm. that we're paying a ton of money. We've got enough weapons on offense to diversify this offense and approach from a schematic standpoint in a way that should put players in better position. And really, you know, when you talk about on field, we like to talk about the quarterback as the field general. Right,
oh, yeah.
Because the quarterback should be putting players in positions to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
The coaching staff, obviously, from a schematic standpoint, should be putting the quarterback and the team in positions to execute in situations with game flow, with time management, with field position, and put them in a position to succeed.
It's their job.
That's their job. Okay? And from a strategical standpoint, or as W might say, a little strategery, y'all, the Panthers are failing. And Cam Newton is failing. It's just that people are going to, they immediately look at Cam as the face of the franchise. And when you talk about leadership, he is the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is the one people are, you know, buying the jerseys. Nobody's buying a, what's their owner's name, Jerry Richardson?
Yeah.
Who walks around with a Jerry Richardson jersey? Nobody. Nobody. How many people have a Cam Newton jersey?
Thousands.
Probably half that freaking stadium.
At least.
Okay. That is where people are going to focus. That is where the media is going to focus. That is where the fans are going to focus. That is where people like us talking about sports are going to focus. Why? Because Cam Newton is the hub. He is the central point. You know, Shannon, as a Colts fan, has been treated, you know, and has enjoyed Peyton Manning's career. Obviously, mm-hmm. he's in Denver now, but you think about all the things that Peyton Manning represented to that franchise, to that team,
to
the city, how he executed that offense. And look, Cam Newton doesn't have to be Peyton Manning. That's not what I'm saying. But there's an approach, there's an attitude, and there is a willingness to lead on field.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something not every quarterback has. Plenty of these quarterbacks can throw a pass when it's scripted and somebody's open. Plenty of quarterbacks can have some measure of success, but not every quarterback is a strong on-field leader.
Well, you're talking about on-field and off-the-field as well.
Well, of course.
During the week, I mean, you're talking about the first guy to practice, the guy that spends the most time in the film room.
Right.
Last guy to lead. Leave.
well, he leads by not leaving early.
Right. And just having the approach of I'm gonna do all my homework, I'm gonna study all this tape on you, I'm gonna put everything I've got into this week to make sure that I can put my team in the best position to win. And over the years, I mean, it got to the point at halftime he would make all the adjustments for the offense, because he knew what was going out there, going out there on the field. And that's just a lot.
It is a lot. And look, there's nobody going to say, Cam Newton, you need to be like Peyton Manning was. Not quite to that level.
You don't have to get to that level if your coaching staff would take the initiative and take some of that off of you and put some more on the running game. I mean,
well, again, yeah, that's this organizational vision, right?
And that's why their GM got fired, I guess, because somebody had to go.
Well, I mean, he's the fall guy.
He is.
Okay, the GM's kind of the fall guy, but part of that is offseason expectations and roster and personnel management. And if that GM is responsible for the most part for the roster and for the coaching staff.
Yeah, for Williams and Stewart getting $20 million contracts.
They got paid quite handsomely. But, you know, his fingerprints are on this roster. His fingerprints are on this this entire team. And if the team is going to fail, then what you're seeing, and it's Marty Herney was the general manager. And in about 10 years with the Panthers, he's right under 500, 80-86. Mm. So nothing fantastic, nothing, I mean, you know, kind of right in the land of mediocre. So I guess if you love living in mediocrity, that's not shabby. But I just think a lot of expectations were very high for what the Panthers were going to be. And when you look at what this team is doing over the, you know, first half of the season, they're not living up to that. But it's more than just Cam. Now, people, you know, his press conferences, people are bagging on him. And the thing is, Cam's bringing some of it on himself.
Yeah.
He's clearly bringing some of it on himself. And if you go to some of these things, you know, some of the press conferences, particularly recently, like this week, you know, he's got a couple of kind of funny sound bites. Well, one of them's not that funny, but the other one to me is kind of funny. And, you know, he's talking and he sets up with this kind of script and director quote. Hey, look, this soundbite from NFL.com is brought to you by Fios. Thanks, Fios, for somehow interrupting the Sports Brew podcast and not sponsoring us, but we'll let your commercial play at least partially.
Letting your internet provide us.
Yeah, great. Punks. All right, we'll get to the soundbite in a second. I completely blame NFL.com for feeling the need to interject a commercial every time you want to watch anything, by the way. It's extremely annoying. But anyway, here's Cam Newton chit-chatting with one of our favorite soundbites of the week, I suppose. Probably not his, now that it's made the rounds everywhere. But here you go. Mr. Cam Newton, superhuman it up. And by the way, he did not do his T-shirt chest Superman rip during this press conference. Here you go.
The past couple of games has been the same script, you know, by the same director. You know, it's kind of getting boring. And, you know, it always coming down to the end when, you know, we have our opportunities to, you know, score points, you know, finish them. Whether it's, you know, third down and four offensively, we got to, you know, convert. Third down and four on defensively, you know, you got to stop somebody and special teams. So it's no fingers to point. You know, I think you can go around the locker room and, you know, expect more out of each and every person, number by number, including myself. So,
well, at least he said that at the end, right?
To happen.
So, I like the fact that he says it's boring. Really, Cam? It's boring. And what? Okay, so it's the script. It's the same script. It's the same director. I'm not pointing fingers. It's boring. And what is he really getting at here? You know, I mean, I have my interpretation. I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, and I really think if you haven't watched the press conference, I think it helps give you context. Because when you hear the soundbite to me, it doesn't sound very positive, well, right? But,
right.
When, when you look at him, dude, his body language is so poor. He looks so disinterested in being there. It just really disappoints me.
It is.
I'm not even a Panthers fan, and I think it's lame.
I get it. I mean, at the same time, it's right after the game, and he's probably pissed off, and he's just upset that, you know, they just lost their fourth in a row.
Well, he ought to be upset, but
third in a row by less than a touchdown. I mean,
boring, same script, same director. I'm not pointing fingers.
He's pointing fingers.
We're all accountable.
Let's not mistake. He's pointing fingers probably at the offensive coordinator. Because not enough runs are being called.
No,
in my opinion.
No, and that's an issue. And Shannon and I talked about this earlier tonight. You know, I'm a real big believer that when you're looking at how this offense is being set up and how Cam Newton is being utilized this year, you know, again, part of it absolutely has to go back on Cam because he has to own his own on-field decision-making and his own actions. He has to own that. He also has to be able to communicate to the coaches when the defense is giving, you know, showing certain looks, showing certain tendencies, or if certain things are working. You know, again, he's the on-field leader, right? He's supposed to be the on-field leader, the field general, the quarterback. So that's part of his job. It's also part of the coaching staff's job to, you know, help put him in positions so that he can put the other offensive players in positions to succeed. And the coaching staff, you know, I don't agree with how Cam Newton is saying this, and I think his body language is extremely poor. But I do think the takeaway, to be fair to what the message really is, that coaching staff is not doing a good enough job with that team. And I do think that is a legitimate takeaway. Even if you don't like how he said it, I think that's a legitimate takeaway from this particular press conference.
Four of their five losses are less... have been by less than a touchdown. I mean, it's been that close. The only real loss they had no chance in was against the Giants.
Well, the Giants just flat out whooped their ass.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a beat down of just
epic proportions. Well, I mean, it was 36-7.
Yeah.
Cam threw three picks and essentially got benched for Derek Anderson.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, it's pitiful. I mean, Derek Anderson, come on, man. Come on, man. Seriously, that cat? Get out of here. Garbage.
I mean, we're not saying this that they're 5-1 today, or even 4-2 or 3-3, but I mean, they're 1-5. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And you got to keep fighting. The season's not over.
No.
And, of course, the schedule setting up coming up next, I mean, at Chicago and at Washington, I mean, I think you should probably chalk those up as two losses.
I do not see the way this team is playing right now. I do not see any feasible way that they can deal with Chicago's defense.
Oh, and the next game's against Denver.
And, yeah, good luck. Good luck. Is that one in Denver?
No, it's at home.
It's at home. Well, at least it's not in Denver, right? That's actually really good, right? Because Cam is going to go face-to-face with
the maestro,
Peyton Manning. Take a notepad, your iPhone, do a video, do whatever you got to do. Go talk to Peyton Manning before the game.
Have Derek Anderson take notes for you.
Go ahead. Put Derek Anderson to use, right? Have him jot
He's
down some
stuff.
He's got
the clipboard anyway. Yeah. Just have him take notes.
It's probably an iPad by now, right? It's probably not even a clipboard anymore. They probably have an iPad, a little tablet. They're writing out stuff on the sidelines, slipping through pictures, doing this crap. Dude, go ahead and put Derek, make Derek Anderson work. You know, make some money.
That's a suggestion box right there for you, Cam.
There's your suggestion box. Oh, that soundbite. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, too. But, you know, the other person that's going to be interesting, and I'm going to this game. I bought tickets to the Panthers and the Redskins game. And, you know, obviously people are talking about what RG3 is accomplishing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the hype train of RG3. And one of the very key critical differences, I think, when you address this topic between Cam Newton and RG3 is look at the difference with their attitude, what most people are going to perceive, right? Because part of this is perception. Part of this is your persona. Part of this is how you interact with the public, with the media, how you sell yourself. You know what I mean? There's an image thing. And even if you don't like Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning is very conscientious about what his image is. Mm-hmm. He's very careful about how he projects to the media. People will complain about coach speak. You know what I mean? But that's somebody that knows how to manage those situations. And they're not going to give away all of their emotions unnecessarily. Peyton Manning is not going to act like a petulant, you know, 20-year-old in a press conference.
No.
You know, leave that to Denny Green. You know, that's okay.
We let him off the hook.
Let him off the hook. But, you know, and again, we'll address this a little bit more, but think of the difference in attitude, personality, and how they handle the pressure. You know, RG3 seems to embrace the pressure.
That's called leadership.
And, yes, one of the things that's very key when you look at what RG3 represents to the Redskins, and I will admit I am biased. I'm a Redskin fan. I'll put that on the table. But show me any column, show me any article, anything that has been written about RG3 since he has come to D.C., we'll throw out the college stuff. We'll just go since he has come to D.C. that doesn't talk about his leadership in the locker room, his leadership on the field, his attitude to help instill belief in that team that they can win.
Yeah, veterans aren't just going to let a rookie come in and they're going to say nice things about him. I mean,
no.
You gotta impress those guys.
And yes.
I've only heard positives from veterans about Robert Griffin III, so he gets it done on and off the field, and that's how you got to do it.
Well, let's go ahead and pull up the little suggestion box code, because I think that's pretty golden, and I'm pretty sure both Shannon and I are going to have some suggestions for you, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, just remember, you put it on the table. Cam, we got some for you, but let me pull this soundbite first, because I think it's, if you haven't heard it, it's kind of a hoot. Yeah, buddy.
What is it going to take for you guys to put this dominance on the field so that you will start scoring those, having those 35-point games, and what can you do?
I'm a lead this room, and I'm a bring in the suggestion box, and I want your suggestions to be in that suggestion box, because I sure don't know. I really don't. I wish I could tell you, but only thing I control, sweetheart, is myself. You know, and offensively, you know, I am the leader of this bunch, and it's been, we haven't been getting the job done.
You got that right. Okay, so a suggestion box. Number one, let's go ahead. We're going to set up the official Sports Brew suggestion box. And I actually think we should stick this on the Facebook wall. For anybody that doesn't know, that would be facebook.com/sportsbrew. And I think we're going to go ahead and link this press conference, and we're going to set up the Sports Brew Nation suggestion box, because I think there might be some fun feedback on this. But one thing that I'm going to slip in that suggestion box.
Hey, now.
Whoa.
Hey, now.
Well, that's not her suggestion box.
Oh, okay.
That's a suggestive box. Really? Did we just get into slipping it into the box? God.
Look inside. It's my poop in a box.
It's your poop in a box?
No, I said bleep.
It's your bleep in a box. So we said...
Dick in a box, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. But earlier we said honey on this bitch, and you're going to beep out dick? Maybe we're talking about Dick Tracy.
Dick.
You know.
Okay.
Wasn't there a defensive coordinator? No, that was Gunther Cunningham.
Nah, the Steelers.
Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau.
Yeah, Dick LeBeau. You had a segment on this show.
We
wished you a happy birthday. And we said that nobody, you know, today is going to name their kid Dick. It's just not going to happen. It's like anybody with the last name Balls. You're not going to name, the first name's not going to be Harry.
Uh-oh.
Or Dick.
What'd you just say?
You said Balls.
That happens. That's also a staple on this show. You know, Balls and Woos.
Woo!
That's kind of how we roll.
It is.
Right?
You forgot the third one.
Oh. That was Whitfield. That was the fantasy fail horn. He actually has a really great laugh that we saved that I still think is funny. It's even better when you back it up. You got a woo.
Woo!
And a Matt laugh. It's particularly golden. So, Cam Newton, your suggestion box. How about a nice cup of shut the... Now, this is when a beep would be good, right?
Yeah.
How about a nice cup of... cop. How about a nice cop? No. Although he did call that reporter sweetheart, so maybe he wants to cop a feel.
That's a southern thing, dude. It's a southern thing.
That's fine. I don't know if you should be calling a reporter sweetheart, but I don't really care so much about that. I mean, you can get somebody else in that maybe has a, you know, wants to make an argument about respect for women on that one. And maybe that is just a southern thing, and that's cool.
I think it's just a southern thing. I don't think he meant anything by it.
No, I'm not saying that's a real big deal. Look, we're getting off topic. You know, it's a sports group. We're going to get off the rails, man. I don't really care that he called her sweetheart. That's fine. I think it's weird. I think it's a little weird, but, you know, whatever. His suggestion box. What kind of suggestion do you have? I'm glad to offer, have a nice cup of shut the F up. Grow up, dude.
I'll be nice. I'll say an offensive coordinator that likes to run the ball with the running backs. That usually helps.
Yeah, put the running backs to use. So, in the suggestion...
I mean, you do pay those guys, what, $20 million guaranteed each?
They're paying them a crap load of money, man.
So, I mean, 40 times a game, 20 times each should be the norm, I would imagine.
So, here you go. Suggestion box. Number one, if the score is 36-7, don't Superman chest thing.
Nope.
Okay, you don't need to do it.
Just hand the ball off to the ref and walk back. to the sideline.
Dude, go old school, man. Go Barry Sanders, dude. Score with class, get off. Suggestion number two, don't throw three picks and get benched for Derek Anderson. That's a fail.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Anytime you're getting benched for Derek Anderson, seriously.
No shame in throwing three picks against the Giants, but anytime you're benched for Derek Anderson.
Derek Anderson.
You might as well just double up on that one.
Cam, he really ought to get three. Yeah. I mean, he threw three picks. He ought to get three loser horns. Three fail horns. Three Vinny Serrato, Ryan Leaf, Memorial, fail horns. That's how that goes.
Yeah.
That's what he gets for that game, because that game was a big bag of disaster. It was terrible. Okay, so shut up, grow up, don't throw your coaches and teammates under the bus in a press conference when you're 1-5 and you're a prime reason that you guys are 1-5. Own up to the fact that you are the face of the franchise. Be prepared to shoulder that burden. Lead by example. Okay? Lead by example.
That's a suggestion.
That is a suggestion.
Steve Smith actually sent that one in.
Yeah. There you go. Good old Steve Smith, man. Cam, you got to be a man.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Well, you're not 40, but you got to be a man. You have to be a man for this franchise. You need to be a man for your teammates. You need to be a man for your owner, for your coaches. You need to be a man for that city. You need to be a man for that brand. Okay, this is on you.
Hey, if you're going to do all those commercials with you, you know, smiling and dancing and all that, you got to be able to handle all the bad times, too.
It's an outrage.
Damn right, Mr. President, it is.
It is an outrage. And, you know, part of that, look, people love it when times are good. When you get the wins, when you were down at Auburn, rolling in the W's, celebrating that national championship, and that's great. That's fantastic. But you know what? Those days are done, buddy. Those days are done. You're not at Auburn anymore. Okay, your dad's not helping to get checks cut for $250,000 or whatever the hell it was. Nobody in the NFL gives a crap about what you did in college. Okay, that's done. Nobody in the NFL gives a crap about what your dad is doing. Nobody in the NFL gives a crap about what you've accomplished before. You're there. You're at the show. Okay? That stuff got you there, but what you do now is what matters for you to stay there.
It's all about the wins and losses.
What you do now is going to differentiate you from having a career that goes nowhere, or having a meltdown, or helping to redefine a franchise. You've got a lot on your plate. I understand that. You're being tasked with essentially rebranding, redefining, and rebuilding as a central piece of a franchise that was clearly in rebuilding mode was very poor.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're hanging your hat on Jake DeLome, do you remember how bad some of that was at the end? My God.
I mean, he got him to a Super Bowl, but at the end, wow.
I know. Well, that was a pretty good team. But Jake DeLome at the end, not so good. Okay? Cam, I know you're being asked to do a lot. You're a gifted young man. You've got a ton of talent. You need to focus that talent and your attitude and your energy.
Positive energy.
And being a better quarterback and being a better leader and being a better teammate and being a better player and being a better man and being a better face for that franchise. If you are going to redefine that franchise, you have to redefine you. You're capable of it. I believe that you can do it.
I do too. We want you to succeed.
Yes, we do. The league will be better if you progress and mature as a quarterback.
That's the fact, Jack!
The league will be better for it. But you have to be ready to own it. You have to be ready to do it. You have to be ready to live it. And when you're at that point and you don't have Warren Moon coming to defend you because clearly the criticism is because there's a bunch of racists.
Jeez.
Look, I have a lot of respect for Warren Moon. I do. But you know what? Last time I checked, there's no shortage of superlatives being dumped on RG3. So as far as I can tell, the criticism you're getting is not because you're black. The criticism you're getting is because your attitude sucks. The criticism you're getting is because you're acting like a bitch. The criticism Woo! You're getting is because you're shoving it off and throwing other people under the bus. The criticism you're getting is because of you. You need to step up for your teammates, for your town, for that franchise. You need to step up for you. When you own that, not just on the field, but off the field, then we'll have a much different conversation. And people will respect you and treat you differently. You will get, I don't want to say handled by the media in a different way, but the media will write about you differently.
They'll look at you differently.
There's enough examples across the league of quarterbacks or any other player or coaches. When you don't deliver and you act like a bitch, you're going to get the criticism. You want all the love when things go well. You want all the love. You want all the hype. You want all the, yay, Cam, you're great. Do that Superman thing. Let's get some endorsements. You eat it up when things go your way. But what's really going to separate out the kind of player and kind of career you're going to have is learning to overcome adversity and learning to help your team push through down cycles, difficult games, off games.
What was the
quote? You have to own that.
What was the quote by Martin Luther King? Adversity doesn't show character, it reveals it. That's kind of showing your character right now, Cam. You know, kind of being the front runner. You know, let's dig down deep, find out what you're made of, and let's bring some positives out of this.
It's year two, man. You got a long NFL career in front of you. You do.
And you're still learning, and you got to keep, you can't get down. You can't show people you're down. You got to keep bringing yourself up. Got to keep getting better week in and week out. And just, that's what you got to worry about.
It's a process, man.
It really is.
It's a process, man. And if it happens in year three, build to year three. You're 1-5 right now. Learn from this.
Get better each week.
But own it. Learn from it, but own it.
Damn, Justin. I think you just gave Cam the business.
Personal foul, 69, offense. He was giving him the business.
Damn right I did, buddy. Damn right I did. Cam deserves some of the business on that. But, you know, speaking of SEC quarterbacks that were taken number one overall, we also got to give a little bit of this criticism. I know because people are probably like, oh, man, you're bagging on Cam Newton. Hey, and we did. And now we're going to bag on Stafford.
Matthew Stafford.
Good old Matthew Stafford, who... it's another guy that I had really high expectations of coming into the season. Look at how productive they were last year. And their production paid off because Detroit did, in fact, make it to the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Coach Mora making another appearance here on the
You know we love Coach Mora, man.
Don't go there with me. Don't go there with me. Don't go there with me. Nice you want to keep it real, you keep it real with me. Because I ain't for no game.
Oh, man.
Darn, dude. Well, you know, let's keep it real here. Matthew Stafford, Detroit, all the criticism we just gave Carolina and Carolina's coaching staff.
Goes to you.
And Cam Newton also applies to you. So, hey, Warren Moon, take that. It must be because it's racist.
It's like, an outrage.
Damn right, man. Yeah.
Is this like white on white when we're going on Matthew Stafford?
Is this white on white crime? I suppose. Look.
Have a sense of humor, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez.
Have a little fun with it. Have a little fun with it. It's okay.
Not so serious.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
There you go for not so serious, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a parallel, and obviously different franchises, different roster makeups, different coaching styles, but a clear parallel in the ineffectiveness of their offenses. You know, you look at what Detroit is accomplishing with Stafford, and I know Stafford had some injury issues, he's missed some time, but he's not a rookie. He's got enough games under his belt that when you look at the games... And I watched that Chicago-Detroit game, and I almost wish I hadn't. You know, thankfully I DVR'd it, so it wasn't quite... I didn't feel like I totally wasted 4 hours of my life. It's pretty close, but not entirely. But that offense looks dysfunctional. The offense looks nearly inept, and it just surprises me. I know Chicago has a good defense. But this is not the only game this season that Detroit has struggled to either run the ball, to score. They had some last-minute heroics in the Philadelphia game that bailed them out on that and bailed Stafford from a stat line perspective, helped bail them out on that. But, you know, that team, to me, coming into the season, and I know that's a tough division. Bears are good. Packers are good. Vikings are surprisingly better than I think most people expected them to be. But there's opportunity there. And to me, Detroit is squandering the momentum they were building from last year. They've got an extremely good defensive line. They've got some issues in the defense. They're not perfect, but I mean, they did hold Chicago to 13 points.
Right.
They did block a field goal. 13 points.
I mean, you hold Chicago to 13 points, you have a good chance to win.
And you scored, really, for the majority of the game, you do nothing. And then when you do have red zone opportunities, you throw a pick.
Fumble.
Your running back fumbles it, trying to stretch out across the goal line. And then, you know, there's another time LeSueur fumbles it. Mm. I mean, he looked like he was getting ready to sit down on the defender, and the ball just gets away from him. It's ineffective offense. And when we talk about the criticism of the organization in Carolina for not, you know, addressing game flow and in-game management appropriately, some of that's on Cam, some of that's on the coaching staff, right? And I think the same thing's true in Detroit. Look, Calvin Johnson is a beast. Megatron is an absolute stud of a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are not leveraging Megatron appropriately, and I don't just mean throwing the ball to him because you can. You got to target him. You got to use him. I get that. We spent, when we were warming up for the show and cranking through a beer, I like to term this like the art of deception, right? And in football, part of the thing with football is you set up what you're going to do. You set it up. It's a strategic game. Shannon mentioned it being like a game of chess, right? Yeah.
You have to do a couple moves to kind of make your opponent think about what you're going to do, and then all of a sudden come out of left field and bam.
Yeah. It's not always about the exact play that you're in. Sometimes it's about picking up some first downs and setting up something to read somebody's tendencies. Sometimes it's about game flow management. You know, if we're doing this, how is the defense reacting? How is the defense biting? What kind of trends are we seeing? What kind of schemes are they running? What kind of formations are they doing, et cetera? What kind of blitzes? Sometimes in football, the art of deception, the art of quarterback play, the art of football is deception. It's setting your opponent up. It's not always the play you're in. Maybe it's the next series. Maybe it is the next play. But that art, to me, is not there in Carolina, and it's not there in Detroit. Some of that is on the quarterback. Some of that is on the coaching staff.
Well, that's got to be on the coaching staff a little bit because, I mean, you're looking at Stafford's line versus the rushing again. They had 18 rushing attempts versus 46 passing attempts. There's no balance there whatsoever.
No, it's a very imbalanced offense.
I mean, I understand that your running backs are hurt and all that, but sign somebody off the street and give them some carries. I mean, San Francisco, to me, at least tries. I mean, they had a game where Gore ran 20 times for 60 yards. They ran the ball 20 times to at least have the ability to go play action.
Well,
I mean, if you've thrown the ball 40 times and you try to do a play action, they're not going to bite on that.
No, you know, they're two different offenses. You know, San Francisco and Houston are very much, their offenses are heavily predicated on a running game success to set up the play action pass. That's not how Detroit is. But that doesn't mean that Detroit wouldn't benefit from a better running game. And I think that point is clear.
I mean, you could take 10 of those pass attempts, put them toward the run, and you got a little bit more balance. Yes, you may not get the yards, but there is the threat, more of a threat of the run there to help you out, to help your quarterback out. I mean, you've got a hell of a quarterback there. I mean, he's a decent guy. I mean, he can throw the ball. Well, obviously, if you're a fucking quarterback.
Hey, man. It's like when you said wide receiver.
Can you just fail me right now?
It's like when you said wide receivers run routes.
Can you just, like, fail me?
Yeah, no, you're getting failed.
Thank you.
Look, yes, quarterbacks throw the ball.
You've got
thank you for that. Yes. You only get in-depth analysis like that here at the Sports Brew.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's the only place.
You don't get it anywhere else.
Where else would you get that?
Nowhere.
BSPN?
Else. Yeah, the BSPN translator.
The BSPN translator. I mean, nowhere else do you get insight like the quarterback throws the ball.
You said balls.
Look,
that's right.
You've got a quality quarterback in Matthew Stafford. You took him number one overall. Got a huge arm. Look, you got to utilize him in a good way. And young quarterbacks, two of their best friends. Number one is a running game, and number two, a tight end. But if you're Matthew Stafford, number two is Megatron. But in order to utilize Megatron better, utilize your running game.
Well,
he was targeted 11 times in that game.
He got targets.
And he only got 3 catches.
A few of those targets were in the red zone, and Stafford kept trying to force the ball to Calvin Johnson. But here's what I don't get about that. If you're going to throw the ball to Calvin Johnson, and Charles Tillman was all over him, dude.
Oh, he played a hell of a game.
Tillman played phenomenally well. Chicago knows how to defense, you know, gifted players and to try to take away that player from an offense. Detroit's offense is overly reliant on Megatron. We know that.
Yeah.
If you're going to force it to Calvin Johnson in the end zone, and Calvin Johnson has a distinct size advantage on Charles Tillman, which he does, why are you going to throw the ball repeatedly into an area that is easy for Charles Tillman to get to? Why don't you, Mr. Gifted Passer, because you can throw the ball, just like Shannon says, why don't you throw it high so that Calvin Johnson can jump for it and go above Tillman? Why are you putting it in Megatron's breadbasket on one of those throws so Tillman can punch it out?
Not
Dude,
good.
Chicago's DBs and linebackers, they are so gifted at punching the ball out, you cannot stick it right there where it's easy for them to get to the ball. You can't do it. Not consistently. You're not leveraging the strengths and the assets of what your offense is. They force it. That whole offense feels forced.
But, right, and listen, you've got some weapons there. You've got Brandon Pettigrew at tight end.
Decent.
You've got Ryan Broyles, a rookie wide receiver from Oklahoma,
I don't really want to hear about Broyles as a weapon until he actually does something other than catch a garbage time touchdown.
Well,
I mean, it was like 40 some seconds or a minute left in that game.
But what I'm saying is you got Titus Young. I mean, you've got different guys you can throw the ball to.
Well, they did have Nate Burleson, but he broke his leg. He's done for the year.
Right. But utilize those other guys. And if they start getting hot, make the defense try to adjust to them and then go back to Megatron.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Calvin Johnson is going to suck up this coverage, and this is the way it should be, right? You know, sometimes you do need to feed the beast. Sometimes you do need to feed him the ball. Absolutely. I'm not telling Detroit, I wouldn't advise them to go away from Megatron. But you do need to attempt to at least achieve more balance in your offense, and you do need to attempt to legitimately run the ball and get quality carries. Running it just to run, maybe that's not the answer. But you do need to incorporate an effective run game and at least help build an effective run game for Stafford. Because he can throw the ball deep, because you've got a Megatron that you have to give coverage, you have to roll coverage to him, there should be opportunity for Pettigrew, for Titus Young, Broyles. Okay. Of course, we did have Burleson, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
There should be opportunities for these other guys to make plays.
And to just throw it out there, I mean, between those three guys, they had 14 receptions in that game. But, you know, make it a few more.
Well,
you know, get
a lot of their look. A lot of their production was garbage. A lot of their big production came late. Games out of hands. Hardly any time left. Last minute heroics are great. That's fantastic. But when the stuff mattered, they either fumbled it, threw a pick, or fumbled it again. And the final score, if you didn't watch that game and you go, oh, 13-7, okay. Chicago owned that game. If by some miracle Detroit would have come back and gotten the onside kick and scored a touchdown, it would have been almost a fraud of a victory. And it would have, I'm serious.
Pulled a Santana Moss versus Cowboys on Monday night.
It would have been insane. It would have been ridiculous. Chicago owned that game for the majority of it. Detroit's defense played pretty good.
Yeah, they limited them to 13 points.
13 points. And look, I'm not going to say Chicago is the best offense in the league. They don't. But Forte is a pretty good running back. Michael Bush, pretty solid running back. They actually use their running backs. Okay,
mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Yeah, shocker. Look.
22 rushes for 96 yards for Forte.
Yeah, and he had one real big nice run, in the first quarter.
Yeah, he had 39-yarder.
Yeah, so, I mean, his numbers are a little inflated by that big run, but they still ran the ball.
He ran the ball more times than Detroit combined.
Pitiful. Look, this is something I believe quite firmly. Quarterbacks and offenses, there's a difference between trying to be the offense, you know what I mean, and having the offense flow through you. And Cam Newton, one of my criticisms of him is that he's trying to be the offense. The offense needs to flow through you. Sometimes that means that you are handing the ball off to a running back. Sometimes that means you are throwing the ball. Sometimes that means you are working on the art of the deception, right?
You sound like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Let the offense flow through
you. That's right.
Let the force flow through you.
Yeah. May the force be with you. And I don't mean forcing it into double coverage. Okay? That's a legitimate point, right?
Oh, no!
I have a better idea for double coverage.
Two chicks at the same time, man.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
What's in the box?
Probably some balls.
You said balls.
Hey, just for that matter.
Hey, where are the white women
Hey,
at?
Now.
That's not your mother. It's a man, baby.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got to back that up, man. We got to back that up. That was kind of a fun little soundbite run, wasn't
that
it?
That was fun.
God, I think with all that, Mark would be proud.
Woo!
Yeah,
he would.
See, he is.
I think Matt thought that was funny.
But, you know, there is a difference. And both Stafford... Oh, Matt? Yeah, I'm sure Matt thought it was funny. No... You know, old fantasy fail horn. Yeah.
Woo!
There you go. Anywho. But there's a difference, and part of this maturation as an NFL quarterback and as an on-field leader is understanding the difference between trying to be the entire offense and being able to manage the offense and have the offense flow through you. And to me, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
You are the central point, but it's not all on you, right? You can't force everything. You can't Superman your way through a season. You might get through a game, a series, you know, a two-minute drill. But at some point, when we talk about game flow, when we talk about game management, both Cam Newton and the Carolina coaching staff and Matthew Stafford and the Detroit coaching staff, to me, have a lot of work to do because they are wasting what I believe are, two offenses that have enough pieces.
Oh, such potential there.
To be much more productive than they are. Carolina in particular, with two very good running backs that seem to just be rotting. And then in Detroit, because of Calvin Johnson, leverage him. Leverage what he can do. It's not just throwing the ball to him. But if you're going to do it in the red zone, put it up high.
Well,
leverage him schematically to open things up for other people.
Yeah, if you're going to double team him, put a guy in the slot next to him, and when the safety goes over top to Calvin Johnson, have the slot guy just go run a go route right to the end zone.
I mean, some of it might be decision making. I mean, for all we know, potentially. You remember a couple weeks ago when some of the Giants fans got all cranky about Eli throwing that pick, and they were like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
And, and Gilbert had called a play where there was a deep option, and it's almost like Eli was throwing for the flag down the Barden instead of taking underneath to get the first down.
Right.
Look, we haven't broken down the game film per se, but there is enough, body of work evidence over the first part of this season to be able to look and see both quarterbacks, both offenses, both coaching staffs, both coaching staffs, and the schemes. See, I wanted to say staffs and then schemes, and some of those words just kind of combined.
Scabs.
Yeah, scaffs. Coaching scaffs. That's going to be scheme and staff. That almost sounds kind of kinky. But
it
anyway.
Does, actually.
Yeah. Hey, dude, as long as nobody's picking my scaff, I suppose it's all right.
Or your staff.
Oh, Lord. Well, yeah, maybe not.
Woo!
No, hey, Mark. No. None of that. None of that.
Calm down there, D-Stack.
Yeah. Relax, buddy. Relax, man. You know, get your Jufro in check. It's cool. Did you see him the other day? We had we had people over the house.
He had it in full effect, baby.
Dude, I had kind of a belated birthday. Of course, we were out of town for the Redskins game. Of course, the Twitter Terminator was there for that, and we had a good old drunken time.
Yes, sir.
And then we were in Hilton Head on the Sports Brew bye week. So we were a little bit behind on a kind of a birthday beatdown, bash, whatever. And so we had a little belated birthday-ness here the other day for the Redskins-Giants game. And D-Stat was over here. And, I mean, he just has – he has this gigantic white man fro. It is impressive.
It is impressive.
It's like somebody spilled a bottle of Rogaine on his mutant head, and it's just, like, erupting. He is like a living Chia Pet. D-Stat. And it's just, like, growing out of – I mean, it's amazing. D-Stat, you know –
just called him a living Chia Pet?
Yeah. His head looks like a giant
– Mark, I love you, brother. But that's just funny.
Dude, he is.
Woo!
He looks like a gigantic.
That's our guy right there, though.
Big-headed, shreked out Chia Pet. That's your Halloween costume, Mark. Just paint your face green. You're Shrek with a fro. I'm telling you. Never mind.
That's just hysterical.
Off the rails.
Off the rails.
Off the rails. But anyway, schematically, with their scaffs in Carolina and Detroit, they're dysfunctional. They're wasting opportunity. They're wasting talent. It's not too late in the season. They can still both make adjustments. I think it's a more dire situation for Carolina at 1-5. New Orleans, I think, especially with Vitt coming back this week, their offense is clicking. Their defense is still terrible. But really, that division to me is going to belong to the Falcons unless
they'll clinch next week.
Yeah, unless they get hurt or Michael Turner totally flames out, something weird would have to happen for Atlanta to essentially not own that division. But New Orleans is, to me, their offense is going to get stronger over the course of the season. They're at least going to be productive. Their defense is terrible. But at 1-5, Carolina has distinct problems.
And their next three games are just brutal.
They've got some work to do. And traveling to D.C. will be tough. Dealing with Denver is going to be very – I mean, Denver's probably going to –
at Chicago, at Washington, home versus Denver.
Yeah, good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah.
If you think Cam's attitude is poor right now, what if they go 0-for on those three games? Especially when the RG3 game – because you know a ton of people – some of the love that Cam was getting is kind of being routed towards RG3. I love it. Again, as a Redskin fan, I love that.
Yeah, and we'll get to that on the second part of this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to take a break in a minute and split off, and I'm going to get some more honey because my throat is very sore.
Get some honey on that bitch.
Yeah, get some honey on that bitch. Because that's how we roll, man. That's right. But... the coaching staffs, there's time for both teams. There's time for both teams to make adjustments. And I think that's really what they need to be doing. And with Cam's frustrations coming out in that interview, he needs to make a change for him. And that coaching staff and that organization has to be willing to make the commitment to address some of these issues schematically, personnel usage, packages. Well, anytime you say package and we're talking about football, you know, packages and balls. What are you going to do?
Balls.
Whoa. That sound like got broken. That's not right.
Oh, no.
Let's give that a shot again. We're talking about the NFL packages.
Another shot? All right.
Packages and balls.
You said balls.
Yeah, buddy. That's better.
That's much better.
Man, we can't have a broken ball soundbite.
Broken balls just doesn't sound right.
No. I think we were.
Sounds painful.
I think we were busting balls a few minutes ago on Mark.
We were.
D-Stat, you know we love you. And, you know, I got to say, he's almost like the unofficial mascot of the sports group. Because I think in virtually every podcast now, D-Stat gets some kind of love or hate or joke or what. I mean, something.
Yeah.
You're like a central running gag. It's really awesome, and you should be quite proud of it.
That's our boy right there.
That's right. D-Stat, baby.
Woo!
Well... his appearances in the sports brew comedy routines are probably better than his gambling picks these days.
Well, this past weekend, he actually had a very good weekend.
Yeah?
The weekend before, not so great.
Not so great. Well, that's because it was the Sports Brew bye week.
It was. The bye week, he didn't do so great. We came back. He came rallied. Back strong as well.
He rallied.
The rally was on, baby.
Yeah.
He had
yeah.
the rally monkey going.
He had the rally monkey going?
Yeah, he brought the rally monkey from L.A. and he had it going.
Okay.
Or he stole it.
Or he stole it?
He might have stolen it. I don't know. I think the Giants stole it, actually, but... the San Francisco Giants.
Holy moly. I mean, seriously? Six straight elimination game victories? My hat's off.
That's impressive.
Hats off to the San Francisco Giants for rally. We totally just topic jumped here, but what? This is actually probably a good way. We're going to call this a walk-off segment, right?
Walk-off, baby. Yeah,
it's a walk-off segment. San Francisco Giants absolutely housing the Cardinals now last. 9-0.
I mean, the last three games.
Their
ass. I don't remember the order of the scores, but I know that they were 5-1, 6-0, 9-0. I mean, that's if there was ever a scoreboard bitch, that's a scoreboard bitch.
That is kind of a scoreboard bitch.
I mean, that's insane.
I'm not sure how this World Series is going to play out. My personal leaning right now is Detroit.
Yeah, when you've got Justin.
Justin Verlander from Goochland.
Justin Verlander from Goochland.
I think there's also, obviously, here in Richmond, Flying Squirrels, that is the San Francisco Giants AA
yeah,
affiliate.
Yeah, it's kind of a loaded gun there. I mean, you've got the Giants, who are the home team for the Squirrels, and then you've got Justin Verlander, who's from Goochland.
You got a couple of...
We had a Justin Verlander bobblehead night this year for the Flying Squirrels. So it's kind of a, you know, it's a loaded gun. Which side do you take? Personally, I'll take Verlander because he's dating Kate Upton and... hats off to you there, buddy.
I wonder if she's doing the cat daddy dance for him.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's just like the best video ever.
Shannon's like, yeah, dude, we got to take a break because we got to set up for Towelgate because there's going to be sticky towels.
It's going to be a sticky.
Kate Upton, sticky towels. That's really, it's going to be a sticky pad. Oh, God. Okay, well, as this is completely falling apart.
That's what, never mind.
Cat daddy dance apparently is all you need to say to Shannon and everything goes to hell. All right, so sticky towels and sticky situations in both Carolina and Detroit. Look, early enough in the season, you guys can figure it out. Both Stafford and Cam Newton have some work to do. I really expect, you know, given some of the heat that Cam's getting at this point, it's year two, I get it. This is part of your learning curve. And I certainly hope that you figure it out sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And I would expect to see some adjustments over the duration of the season, especially if he's going to, you know, kind of take on a more central leadership role. And if the coaching staff really adjust in season to some of these issues. And quite frankly, the Sports Brew suggestion box. Because, look, if you're listening, we've given you some really good suggestion, guys. And I know it's going to be hard because Chris Gamble is out for the year at this
tough.
Point. That's going to hurt.
There was a great stat this week I saw from, I think it was Pro Football Focus. And they said the average number of yards per completion against Chris Gamble this season was 0.45.
That is ridiculous.
Not even a full yard against that man. And
that's
when
beast.
When you lose somebody like that on your team, it's just going to go downhill. It's like losing Darrell Revis for the Jets. I mean, you're losing your main guy on defense that can just shut down one side of the field, kind of like a Deion Sanders. And you're just trying to throw it to either the middle or the other side.
Well, Deion was great when he wasn't trying to, you know, bounce punts off his face mask as a Redskin, but that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, the loss of Gamble is going to hurt Carolina. But, you know, that being said, it's even more important for Cam Newton to really kind of grow up a little bit in season and take the reins of this thing.
He will.
You know, he's got to own that. And I hope that we see that out of him over the rest of this season, because that will set the stage for, you know, really year three of the Newton experience, I suppose. As for Detroit, I think a classic perhaps says it best.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Jim Schwartz, you guys need some work, man. It falls on Stafford. It falls on the coaching staff. Again, I think it's a distinct parallel with Carolina. Slightly different set of variables, but I think there's some very clear parallels between some of the dysfunction on offense and just talent being wasted. And there are opportunities there for both teams, certainly for Stafford, who's got a very strong arm. A little bit lacking, perhaps, in the talent at the running back, if you're going to compare them to Carolina. But Calvin Johnson is such a ridiculously talented wide receiver that schematically they're not leveraging the assets they have. And I just think both Stafford and Newton are trying to force things instead of, you know, it's poor game flow, poor game management, poor game flow, and they're trying to force too much of them instead of letting the game flow through them to put people in position to succeed.
It's kind of like basketball when you have that one guy who can just take over a game,
right?
But he tries to he just forces it too much. You got to let the game come to you.
Sometimes, yeah.
You just got to let the game flow, let it come to you, see where the chips are, and then adjust accordingly.
Right.
I mean, you can't just keep forcing it to one part of the field and it to one player.
He got over 5,000 yards last year, essentially forcing it to Calvin Johnson, right?
Right.
But guess what? Teams are taking it away.
Yeah. There's something called tape, and they study it. So.
What?
Make
they
the adjustments.
Study that?
Yeah, apparently.
No.
That's it in Georgia where you're playing like Appalachian State every week.
Nice.
But.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
I agree, Peter.
That's probably about right.
That's
all right.
Pretty much.
I'm going to take that as our cue. So yeah. We're going to go ahead and take a little break. Again, as always, you can find us facebook.com/sportsbrew. You can track us down on both iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Keywords are going to be Sports Brew. I am the captain. I'm here with my man Shannon, the Twitter Terminator. You can track us down on Twitter at VA Sports Brew. Of course, we're on Podbean. That's like kind of the central hub for our podcast. And there's also a blog with all kinds of good jibba-jabba on there. Where is it at?
vasportsbrew.wordpress.com.
Oh man, that's a big URL to remember, isn't it? Hey, you can do it. Hit pause.
You can do it.
Rewind and write it down.
vasportsbrew.wordpress.com.
I don't think they actually needed the follow up there, but that's kind of funny. I like that.
I hooked it up, buddy.
You hooked it up. All right, peeps, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back. We've got some stuff on RG3, the Redskins, training camp, and a whole bunch of other goodness. So we'll be with you on the flip side. In the interim, enjoy just a wee bit of fine music, courtesy of one, Mr. Jerry Stone. Sports Brew, time out. Peace out. See you on the flip side.